centred under the britska is another bottle, and to the right are more bottles, one fallen over, a glass and a mysterious pointed object, possibly a tower. Further down, around the lettering on the page, we find a fish on a platter, a wooden bucket, yet another bottle, some dried fish hanging from curlicues. There is a barrel, a plaited bast shoe, a single boot, a small capering figure raising a glass, a pair of boots. A lyre hangs from the ornamentation beside a solemn satyr's mask, balanced by a similar satyr's mask on the other side, and what may be more musical instruments. Above the publication date is an oval platter with a big fish on it, surrounded by smaller fish. To the left of the date, a balalaika and a guitar. To the right of it, a miniature dancing couple. At the very bottom centre, amid more scrollwork, is a human face. The curlicues around the words dead souls turn out, on closer inspection, to be skulls. The words on the title page are presented in lettering of different styles and very unequal sizes. At the top, in the smallest and plainest letters, we read Chichikov's Adventures, then in very small cursive the word Or, then in larger and bolder letters, Dead Souls. In the largest letters of all, in the very centre of the page, white against a black background, is the word Poema, the Russian term for a narrative poem. Below that, in small but elegantly ornate lettering, appears the name of the author, N. Gogol. And finally, on a square plaque, under the oval platter with the big fish, comes the date of publication, 1842. This was Gogol's own introduction to his book. The sketches suggest something of its content and more of its atmosphere. The road, the racing britska, country estates, a good deal of drinking and eating, music and dancing, and in the midst of it all, those little skulls, those slightly menacing satyrs, that ambiguous human face looking out at us. These are all the stuff of Gogol's Poema. But before considering the nature of this paradoxical feast, I want to say something about the words Gogol distinguished so carefully by the size of their lettering and their placement on the page. Gogol was 33 in 1842 when this first edition of the first volume of Dead Souls was published. A second edition came out in 1846, but the promised continuation of Chichikov's Adventures, the two big parts to come, mentioned at the end of the first volume, were never finished. Gogol laboured over the second part for the last 10 years of his life, burned one version in 1845 and another in 1852, a week before his death. What survived among his papers were drafts of the first four chapters, fragmentary themselves, plus part of a later chapter, possibly the last. They were published in 1855 in a volume entitled The Works of Nikolai Vasilievich Gogol, Found After His Death. The first volume of Dead Souls was, in fact, the last good book Gogol wrote. N. Gogol, as he modestly styled himself, was in 1842 the brightest name in Russian literature. This Sir Rayon Belinsky, a leading radical and the most influential critic of the time, had hailed him in 1835 as a writer who might finally create a truly Russian literature, independent of foreign models. He saw that promise fulfilled in Dead Souls, a new step for Gogol, as he wrote in an article of 1842, by which he became a Russian national poet in the full sense of the word. But the conservative Slavophils also claimed him as their own, perhaps with more reason. This all sounds lofty and serious, yet the central figure in Gogol's work is laughter. It was laughter that gave such brightness to Gogol's name, that pure laughter which reached its fullest expression in his play Revisor, the Inspector or Government Inspector or Inspector General, written in 1835 and first staged on April the 19th, 1836, at the command and in the presence of the Emperor Nikolai I. The play was a tremendous